Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Samachei. Don't forget to click the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara for today's shiur will be at the beginning of the section, the upper part of Samach Hei, noted Gemara. In other words, the Mishnah came to a conclusion, and now the Gemara begins. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we actually read the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading and structural note that you'll find in the outside margin under the heading Nosei for topic and Mivneh for structure. What we will notice in the Gemara is a very long framed section of text. The framed sections in our Gemara marking system represent Tanaic sources. So we have written on the side, Braisa Aruka, a long Braisa, a type of Tanaic text, Shiesh Bo Hilchus Oilas Ha'oif, Shenumadu Midrashas Psukim Bevayikra, Halachas concerning the Ola bird offering that are learned from Droshas from Psukim in Sefer Vayikra. We will see diamonds and triangles as we go along in the sukkia. The diamonds, we've noted, mitzayin tchilas drosha. It represents the beginning of a particular drosha, a new idea that's expounded upon from the psukim. And we'll see triangles that in our attempt to havlotas hakohen will be accentuating the word hakohen in the triangles, kidei lahavlit machlikis tanakam v'rabikiva, so as to bring out the controversy between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. We will be noting Psukim in Sefer Vayikra Perek Aleph, Psukim Yud Dalid through Yud Zayin. There will be other Psukim mentioned in the course of the Gemara. For example, later on the page will be Vayikra Hei Posuk Ches. As we go on in the source and in the Gemara, it will be helpful to note the psukim as we go along. In this case, the Braisa opens up with a posuk tes vav. But before you learn posuk tes vav, it would be of assistance if you knew what it says in posuk yudalit. So we have this written on the side. So let's glance at the inside margin. Posuk Yudalid is written in Ve'im min ha'oif oy lo korbano l'ashem Ve'hikriv min ha'torim oy min b'nei ha'yoyno es korbano. The posuk tells us that if someone is bringing a bird offering, so he is to bring it from torim or b'nei yona type birds. Posuk Tezvov says Ve'hikrivoy ha'koyin el ha'mizbeach U'molak es roishoy Ve'hiktir ha'mizbecho Ve'nimtso yodo al kir ha'mizbeach. The beginning of the Pasuk in Tezvov says, and the Kohen shall offer it. But in Pasuk Yudalit, it already mentioned the Hikriv min Hatorim, oh, min B'nei Hayona. So the Braisa will be opening up with a question, what's the necessity of having the Hikrivo mentioned at the beginning of Tezvov when the Hikriv was already mentioned in Yudalit? So turning to the Gemara, V'hikrivoi ma tamad lomar. What is that teaching us? Lefi shenemar v'hikriv min hatorim oy min b'nei hayoina. Before we go on in the Gemara, just for the sake of keeping track of the markings, the first diamond we just read over, Ma Talmud Lomar, this is the first drosha as far as the attention we're going to pay to Psukim is concerned. So we're going to be darshaning v'hikrivo, what does it teach me? Hence that expression is in a diamond. So the Braisa goes and tells us that since it says l'fishenema v'hikriv min ha'termo min b'nei ha'yona, since that was taught taught in Posuk Yudalit, Yachol, one might have thought, HaMisnadev Oif, one who makes a voluntary bird offering, Lo Yivchois Mishnei Predim, that he shall bring no less than two birds, because that's what was indicated in the Posuk Yudalit. It spoke in a plural form. Talmud Lomar, therefore, Pasuk Tezvav uses the expression Rehikrivo, which equals Afilu Preda Achas Yovi El Hamizbeach, that one who offers a voluntary bird offering can bring even a singular bird. Ma Talmud Lomar HaKoyhein, the note we have on the where the star appears indicates Zu Drosha Satanakama. We've written this to the side of the Tosfos, a little starred note, and we've noted this is the drosh of the Tanakama al Hakohen. Bahem Shech Yofia Droshes Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara is asking, the Brisa right now is asking, what is the purpose of teaching the word Hakohen over here? Answer: Lekboya Loi Kohen, to establish that only a kohen is fit for doing malika, for the unique type of slaughter that is accorded to a bird offering. Namely, a non-kohen is not allowed to do malika. Malika is the process of severing the bird's neck from the back of the neck with the thumbnail. Only a kohen is allowed to do that. Sheyachol v'halo din hu. I would have thought without the pasuk that I don't need a kohen from the following logic. Uma ben soin shekova loitzofin lo kova lo kohen, an animal offering, an ola animal offering. The Torah establishes or limits you to the northern half of the azara, of the temple courtyard, and a kohen is not required for the slaughtering of an animal offering. So that you see, something that has some level of restriction, but with regard to the means of slaughter, there's no restriction. Oif, shalokov aloitzafon, the oif which is, seems to be more flexible in the sense that it's not restricted to the northern half of the azara, for the malika, einodin, shalok yikba lo kohen, then by all the more so, there should be no need to have to be restricted to a kohen for the malika. Talmud Lomar HaKohen. Therefore, the pasuk needs to say HaKohen Likboya Loi Kohen, to restrict Malika to a Kohen alone, and not to a Zar, not to a non-Kohen. Yochol Yimlekenu Besakin. Can Malika be done through a Sakin, through a knife? V'din Hu. Logic will tell you that you should have a knife. We're going to find out at the end that you do it without a knife. But logic would say that the bird offering should be slaughtered with a knife. Uma'im shchita shelo kova lo kohen, kova lo kli. Shchita, which is not restricted to a kohen. As we said a moment before, when you're slaughtering an animal offering, a non-kohen is just as acceptable for that. And yet, the act of slaughter is restricted to a vessel, namely a knife. Malika shekova lo kohen. The process of malika, which is even more restrictive, a kohen is the only one suitable for doing that. So ein odin she yigba lo kli. So it should all the more so be restricted to a vessel. In other words, what the malika action of severing the bird's neck from behind, that should be done with a knife. That's what logic would tell you. Talmud Loimar, HaKohen, Umolak. There are few words between in the actual pasuk, and one can see that by glancing at the inside margin, where it says, where the psukim are recorded, but for our purposes, the word hakohen is associated with Umolak, which follows. In Pasuk Tezvov, you can see it said, V'hikrivo ha-kohen, el ha-mizbech Umolak. Namely, the kohen is responsible for the malika with his fingernail. Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, at this point, is going to attack the Tanakama's use of the word ha-kohen to establish that a kohen does it. At this point in the Gemara, the HaKohen word is darshaned, as Rabbi Akiva demonstrates, to tell me that it's done without a knife. But as far as using the word HaKohen from the Pasuk to restrict me to a Kohen, Rabbi Akiva claims you don't need that. And hence this is the point of difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama. So let's read that again in the Gemara. HaKohen u'molak. The malika must be done without a knife, with the fingernail of the kohen. Omar Rabbi Akiva, v'chital al daitcha shezar korev legabi mizbeach. Would you think that a non-kohen draws onto the altar? Of course not. The altar is a place only for kohanim to work. Elo ma tamad lomar kohen. What is the purpose of the word kohen? Shetei malika ba'atzmoi shel kohen. Which we explained just before, that malika is done without a knife, but rather it's done with the kohen himself. We have a little note that accompanies this piece of Gemara, and we've noted that according to the Shitagu Mekubetzis in Ois Dalid, the Tanakama agrees with this drasha, that malika is done by the kohen himself, the atzma shekohen, namely without a knife. He just holds that there are two things to darshan from the word kohen. According to the Tanakama, we're koivea a kohen, meaning a kohen to the exclusion of a zar, and the atzma shekohen through the malika is done with his fingernail without a knife. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the likboya a kohen to establish that only a kohen is suitable for malika, you don't need a posuk for that. The Gemara, the Braisa continues, Yochol yimlikena bein milamalo bein milamato. Can the malika be done, whether it be on top or on the bottom of the mizbeach? Tamud lomar, umolak vehiktir. Mahak Torah Barosh HaMizbeach, just like the offering is at the top of the Mizbeach, Af Malika Barosh HaMizbeach, so too the Ola bird offering is at the top, the Malika of the Ola bird offering is at the top of the Mizbeach. Umolak Shetehe Malika Mimul Oiref. This tells me that the Malika, the severing of the neck, is done from the back of the neck. Atomer mimul oiref oyeno elo min hatsavor. Are you saying that it's from the back of the neck, or maybe it's from under the neck? V'din hu nemar kan umolak. In posuk tesvov by the olas of, you see the word umolak. V'nemar lahalon umolak. And you find in vayikra he posuk ches by the chatasov, by the sin offering, sin bird offering, the word umolak, ma lahalon mimul oref. There it says umolak es roishoy mimul orpoi. Just like over there, it means it's mimul oref, means that from the back of the neck. Af kan mimul oref. So too, from by the ola sa'of, where the pasuk only used the word umolak, it's understood through the gezera shava from the back of the neck. Ima lahalon, if you're going to learn from the chatasof, molek the eno mavdil, in the malika process, the neck is severed from the back, but the simonim, the two pipes in the throat, the trachea and esophagus, both are not, we don't cut both of them. Only one is cut in the case of the chatasof. Af kan by the oila sa'of, molek the eno mavdil, are you going to tell me that you don't cut both of them? That's not true. We know that in the case of the Ola Sa'of, you cut both of them. You're mavdil. Tamad lomar, umalak vihiktir. We have our posuk in the context of the Ola Sa'of, which says, Umolak es rosho vehiktir amizbecha. So you have these words, Umolak vehiktir, mahak Torah harosh liatzmoi. Vehaguf liatzmo. Just like in the case of offering the head is offered separate from the body. Af malika harosh liatzmo, vaguf liatzmo. So to in the malika, there is a sense of severing, which indicates that both simonim, both tubes of the throat are cut. Uminayin shehaktora sarosh b'atzmo v'guf b'atzmo. We just said a moment ago that just like the head is offered separate from the body, the Gemara is now, the Brice is now inquiring, how do we know that? From where do we know that the head is offered separately? Shenemar v'hiktir oisoi. Hare haktoras haguf amura. That pasuk means is a reference to the offering, the burning of the body of the ola sa'of. Ha'amani mekayim v'hiktir hamizbecha. So what do I do with this pasuk? Notice there are two separate psukim. One is pasuk yud zayin, and the second part, the end of the line, is a quote from pasuk tezvav. So v'hiktir hamizbecha is teaching me b'haktoras haroish hakosuv medaber, that the head being thrown on the fire is accounted for separately. V'nimtza domo kulo. The expectation is that the mitsui, which is the process of removing the blood from the ola self, it's through squeezing it on the side of the mizbeach. This one is expected to do it to get out all of the blood. Al kir hamizbeach, velo al kir hakevesh. The pasuk that says that one does the mitzui adam on the wall of the mizbeach. This comes to the exclusion of the side of the ramp, velo al kir hahechal. Ze, which wall of the mizbeach is this? Ze kir ha'elyoin. This is a reference to the upper wall of the mizbeach, the upper half. O eno elo kir hatachton. Maybe it's a reference to the bottom half of the mizbeach. V'din hu, and logic would tell me it should be the bottom half of the mizbeach. Ma behemo shechatos lemalo ilos lemato. A behemo whose chatos, an animal sin offering has its blood offered on the upper part of the mizbeach. The ola of an animal ola offering is done on the lower part of the mizbeach. Oif shechatoso lemato, an oif whose chatos is lemato, enudin sheoloso lemato, all the more so its ola should be below. Talmud lomar umolak v'iktir v'nimtza domoi. Taking a look at the words here, we have a somewhat unusual situation. The pasuk describes after the malika, the burning of the bird. That's v'hiktir, so the bird is burnt, and then it says v'nimtza domo, you squeeze out its blood. But once the bird is burnt, how can you talk about squeezing out the blood? V'chital al daitcha lachar shiktir choizer u'mematze, that after it's offered on the fire, you then squeeze it out. Elo lo maloch. Rather, this pasuk is here to teach me ma haktora b'roish hamizbeach, af mitzui b'roish hamizbeach. Just like the offering is at the top of the mizbeach, the offering, the fire is at the top of the mizbeach. So too, mitzui, the squeezing out of the blood, should be on the upper part of the mizbeach. Ha ketzad. How is it done? Hoyoil bekevesh v'soyvev. The kohen would rise up the ramp leading to the mizbeach, and then turn to the sovev, the ledge that's below the top of the mizbeach. That's called the sovev. Uba loi lekeren droimus mizrachis, and then he approaches the southeastern corner of the mizbeach while he's on the sovev. Hoyamolek es rosha mimul arpa umavdio. He would sever the neck from the back of the neck. Cut the two simonim umematze midoma akir hamizbeach, and squeeze out the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. Im aso lemato meraglo filu amo achas kshera. If he happen to do the bird, the Ola Sa'of Mitzui Hadam, under his feet, on the wall of the Mizbeach, that it's below where he is standing, below the Sovev, even to as far down from where he's standing, an Amo, not more than that, but up till or down till one Amo, is it's still kosher. And the reason for that is that when you're at the Sovev, you're at the sixth Amo mark off the ground. The total height of the Mizbeach was 10 Amos. So that you're, you being at the Sovev, you're at the sixth Amo mark, you're considered at the upper half of the Mizbeach, even if he bends over and squeezes it on the side of the Mizbeach, as long as he doesn't bend over more than an Amo down. Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv Oimrim, kol atzmo einasis ela b'roish hamizbeach. They say that the bird offering shall be next to the mokom of haktora. My binahu, what is the difference between these two approaches, the Tanakama's approach and this final approach? Rashi explains the Tanakama also holds from the drasha, if you will, that says v'hiktir v'nimtza domo, which indicates that the mitzui should be done near where the Haktorah takes place. So what's the difference between this final opinion and the Tanakama? Habaye v'rov v'dami trevayu oise marocha agabi sovev ikobinayu. The difference will be the setting up of a fireplace on the sovev ledge, would be a point of difference. According to the Tanakama, that allows you to bend down below the Sovev, even an Amo, while you are bending down under the Sovev, since the Sovev can host a Marocha, so that space on the Mizbeach, up till an Amo under the Sovev, is still considered next to the Mokom HaKtorah. However, according to the final opinions, the Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv, you do not make a marocha on the sovev. Hence, they limit you to the side of the mizbech that is above the sovev. Only at that point are you considered near the rosh hamizbech where there is the marocha. Bo loy leguf v'chulei. Tanu Rabbanan. The Hesir es mur asoi, the Pasuk says regarding the bird offering, you remove the mur'ah, zu zefek, that's a reference to the zefek organ. Yochol yakdir besakin v'yitlenu, should you imagine that he penetrates the belly of the bird and takes out the zefek alone without the surrounding skin, the surface skin of the bird with its feathers. Tamaloma benotso sa. That's the word that you find in the Pasuk. Note law, venotel es hanotso imo. You take out the zefek with the surrounding feathers and skin that's just above the zefek. So he's cutting away the area of the bird under which is found, or in which is found, the zefek. So he's not taking just the organ itself, but the cover, the area of skin and feathers that covers the that area where the zefek is located. Abu Yossi ben Chonon Omer, note law, v'notel es kurkivona ima. The Kohen is expected to take out the zefek and the kurkivon. And Rashi explains that the word notza is a reference to the waste of the animal and that which is ma'us. So it, when the pasuk is instructing him to take out the vehesir es mur'aso benotzasa, the pasuk is telling you to take out the organs that contain that which is otherwise disgusting, the waste of the bird. So that's accomplished by removing the zefek and the korkovan. Tebei Rabbi Shmuel Tana benotzasa. What is their limud from that? Benotza shela kodra besakin kamin aruba. Let's take a look at Rashi. Benotza shela velo yoiser mima shekeneged hazefek. That he takes out the that which is opposite the zefek organ. Ha ketzad, how is this accomplished? Koder esaor svivo sazefek. He cuts away the skin around the zefek, kamin aruba, type of window. V'notel notza v'or shekeneged hazefek im hazefek. He, by cutting away this flap of skin and creating a type of window, he's able to reach in and take out the zefek. Avol below kedira lo. But without this, if he doesn't do it this way, cut away the skin forming this little window, so to speak, in the belly of the bird, then this wouldn't be accomplished. Sha'or nimshach achrov venotel yoser. Because if you attempt to take out the zefek without cutting away the skin first, when you grab the zefek, you'll end up taking more than just the zefek alone. Rashi says that the skin will be drawn along with it, and it'll end up taking out more. Therefore, the Tana here is learning that benotzasa means you take it out through this. You're taking out the zefek alone through this cutting away process that the Brisa describes as kodra v'sakin. Shisa v'lo hivdil. Tanu rabona v'shisa. The pasuk says that the animal, the bird, is split open. Ein shisa elobiyad. This cutting open of the body of the korban is done by hand. V'chein hu omer, and it says similarly by Shimshon, v'yishasehu k'shesa hagdi. And Rashi points out that in that pasuk, it's clear that he did this with his bare hands. So the shisa, in the case of the bird offering, is also something done by hand and not with the assistance of a knife. Lo hi sir es hamura, and etc. It went on in the mission to say, hivdil b'chatos, v'lo hivdil b'ola, where he switched around activities. He did the two simonim by the chatos, when he really should have done one. Or he did only one simon by the ola, when he should have done two. The Mishnah rules puzzle. The Gemara comments that this point of the Mishnah that invalidates a chatos of that he was mavdil both simonim, makes it such that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon. Because according to Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon, this being mavdil, the two simonim on the chatos, on the olas ha'of, would not have rendered it invalid. Masnisin delo k'Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon desanya, Amar Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon shamati shemavdilin b'chatos ha'of. I have heard that if one was mavdil, one cut both simon and both tubes in the case of the bird sin offering, it is not ruined. So according to the Tana of our Mishnah, being mavdil a chatasof would ruin it. According to Rebbe Elazar b'Shimon, it would not be ruined. Gemara asks, "My binayu." What is the difference, the underlying difference between these two opinions? The Rashi points out that the "my binayu" question, which usually translates as "what is the difference between them," is to be understood differently, but as "b'may komiflugi," what is the underlying point of machlokes between them? We have a note on the outside margin that no say mivne heading. We'll see diamonds here. Deois lahasbir b'may komiflugi mishnaseinu v'lozer v'shimon. Different opinions are offered in the Gemara. As you can see, we start off with Rav Chisda, then later Rava, then Abaye. These are opinions to explain what's the underlying point of difference between our Mishnah and the Rebbe of Shimon regarding the Chatas Ha'of, whose two Simonim were cut. That's called, he was Mavdil B'Simonov. That according to our Mishnah, it's Posel Gred of Rebbe Shimon, it's kosher. So what's the underlying difference between them? Before we go on in the Gemara, it may be of considerable help to appreciate or to realize that it's important that there is a distinction between a Chatas Ha'of and an Olas Ha'of. If you take the side that says being Mavdil in the case of a Chatas Ha'of does not ruin it, you're implying that even though I was Mavdil the Simonim, I still will not confuse it with an Olas Ha'of. If that be the case, so that demands an explanation. How is it that I won't confuse it with an Olas Ha'of? According to the opinion that says that our Mishnah, that is, that if you're Mavdil by the Chatas Ha'of, it's possible. The reason for that is because if you do that, you've essentially made it indistinguishable from an Ola. With that introduction in mind, let's continue in the Gemara. Omar of Chisda, Mitzui Chatas Ha'of Me'akev Ikobinayu. By the Chatas Ha'of, there is a sprinkling of the blood, a waving of the bird right after Malika, and its blood spurts out toward the Mizbeach. And after that, there's a squeezing process, Mitzui. Now, is the Mitzui process a binding step in the processing of the Chatas Ha'of? So this issue will be the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Tanakama sovar Mitzui Chatas Ha'of Me'akev. The Mitzui is a binding stage in processing the Chatas Ha'of. The Kevon de Motsui, the Mitzui Dam Me'akev, and since the Mitzui Dam of the Chatas Ha'of is a binding stage, if he was Mavdil, if he did both Simonim, and also ends up doing Mitzui, we should note, very importantly, that when it comes to an Olas Ha'of, the only thing that was done was Mitzui. There was no waving action of the bird in order to accomplish the Zrikas Adam. There was only, when in the case of an Olas Ha'of, there was only Mitzui was done. So the Tanakama holds that the Mitzui of a Chatas Ha'of is a binding stage. In other words, after the Hazal was done, you have to do the Mitzui. And since the Mitzui is Me'akev, let's read this in the Gemara, V'keva the Mitzui Dam Me'akev, Ka'ovid Maisa Oila B'Chatas Ha'of. It would end up that you are doing, if you severed both the simonim of your Chatas Ha'of, that already makes it look like an Olas Ha'of. the Ola has Havdola done to it, both Simanim are cut. And then I'm going to inevitably be doing the Mitsui, or I'm going to be bound to do the Mitsui. So I've cut two Simanim on my Chatas Of. Already I made it look like an Ola Sof. And I'm also going to be doing Mitsui. That renders the Chatas Of unfit. That's what's meant here, that Ka'ovid Maisa Oilo Bechatas Of. The Mishnah also teaches, and this is the climax of this point, that a Chatas Of that was done like B'maisa Oila is posel. V'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sovar. Mitzui Chatas Of Loi Me'akev. The squeezing out of the Chatas Of is not a binding stage. Therefore, if he was mavdil, if he was mavdil the simonim of the Chatas Of, he simply will not do the mitzui, and thereby creating a difference between the Chatas Of and the Ola Sa'of. The Ola Sa'of will have mitzui done to it. This Chatas Of, even though both simonim were cut, it's not going to look like an Olas Ha'of. Hilkoch. Mechatech Bosor Ve'almahu. Therefore, the cutting of the second simen that you have done in your Chatas Of is like simply cutting mere meat, having no significance. If we look in the Rashi, across from here, Rebozer Rebishimon Sovar, Lo Ma'akev Hilkoch, Imrotzo Lahavdil, Yavdil. If he wants to cut both neck tubes, he can do that. V'lo Imotze La'achar Havdola. And he just should not do Mitsui after he does a Havdola type of Malika. And doing things like that, then V'lo Ovad Le Maisa Oila. And he thereby has avoided treating his Chatas Of like an Ola. V'im Yishum Deshino B'Havdola. And since, and if you'll say, well, he did a different kind of malika than is required because he was mavdil and he's doing a Chatas Of which does not have havdola done to it. Kevon delav maisa ola, since he's not doing mitzui, therefore he's not processing it as an ola. Motzi lemeimar ba chituch boser bi'amahu. When he is mavdil, we can say that the second simen that he cut was like cutting mere meat, an action of non-significance. So that's the underlying point of difference, according to Rav Chisda, between the Tanakama and Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava Omar, Shihiya b'simen sheni b'oila sa'oif ika binayu. After severing the first simen, how do we view the delay? Shihya is a reference to a delay or a pause before doing the second simen in the case of an Olas Of. Let's not forget, we're talking right now about a Chatas Of. We may add, by way of introduction before we go on in this Gemara, that in a standard slaughtering process, if there is a pause, how long the pause is, the Gemara in Chulin presents a couple different approaches, but for our purposes we'll refer to it simply as shihiyo, or a pause. In the case of an animal offering, or even a regular shechita, there's a halacha called the iser shihiyo. One is forbidden to delay. That iser is in place so long as you haven't completed the shechita. In the case of a a chata sa'of, or let's say in the case of ola sa'of, which requires both simonim to be cut, what happens if you have a shihia before you do the second simon in an ola sa'of? And we'll take this information and apply it to our situation of being mavdil by the chata sa'of. So once again, Rava says shia b'simin sheni ba'oila sa'of ika binayu. Shia is the delay before doing the second simin in the case of an oila sa'of will be the underlying point of difference. Tanakama savar shia b'simin sheni ba'oila sa'of loy posla. If one delays before cutting or severing the second simin in the oila sa'of, he's rendered the bird unfit. Lo, let's read that again. Shia b'simin shein v'osof, lo posla. The shia, the delay before severing the second simin in the case of an osof, does not render the oila sa'of posl. Therefore, v'afal gav d'shaye, even if there is a shihia between the simen rishon and the simen sheni in a chata sa'of, even if he did that with a shinui, even if he did his chata sa'of that he's severing both simonim with a shehiya, ka'ovid maisa oila b'chatas, he is doing he's treating his chatas as if it were an ola by cutting both simonim, even though there's a shehiya between the first and second simen. That still, since it would have been acceptable by an ola, when you do a chatas like that, it comes out looking like an ola. For Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savar, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is the shita that says that if he's mavdil by the chatas of, he does not ruin it. Why does he say that? Because he holds posla. In the case of an ola sa'of, if there's a delay before doing the second simen, that would ruin the ola bird offering. The kevan de shia, in the case of a chata sa'of, if he wants to mavdil the two simonim, and in order to mavdil both simonim, it's impossible to do it without a shihia. Mechatech Bosar the Almahu. The cutting of the second simen is of no consequence. It's considered as if he's cutting mere meat. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Tanakama Sovar Shia Besimen Sheni Velosaof Lo Posla. And Rashi points out the Lo Domi Lishchitas Behema. We're not going to compare the dinim of Malika of the bird to Shchita by a behema. The Tainim of the behema by a shnei simonim, the reason that by a behema you require to cut the two tubes in order to establish a kosher Shchita, Yishum de lo nafke chiyusa b'simen echad. The life has not departed from the animal after one tube is cut. Therefore, the categorizing the cutting action as shchita is binding upon both simonim. In order to remove the life of the animal, you have to sever both simonim. Hence, the term shchita is applicable to both of them. Avol oif b'simen echad poska chiyusa. This sagi legabi shchita. With regard to removing the life from the bird, the severing of one tube is enough. The havdola ba'oila sa'oif mitzvah bi'almahu de'ika ala. The idea of severing both tubes in the case of an olas of is not for the purpose of creating life exit, but simply to fulfill a Torah precept. Aval shem malika eino chal elo al horishon. The categorizing, or the category of malika, applies only to the first simon. Namely, through the first simon alone is the life spirit of the bird removed. V'lo mahanyo shia lifsoil b'sheni. Delay before severing the second tube doesn't help to make it puzzle. V'chatos shehivdil ba. Afagav debeloshia iefsher bein simen l'simen. Kidetoni l'kamon b'shmaiten. A chatos, that you do accomplish, you do practice havdalah, even though it's impossible to do both simonim without a shia, as the Gemara explains later on, shebetchila choitech shedra mafrekes below roiv basar, hegila simon, chodcho v'rov basar imo. You are severing the back of the neck, the spine, and in the meantime, you haven't cut the majority of the flesh. Before you get to the majority of flesh, you reach the first simen and cut it with rov basar, with rov of the flesh, the surrounding flesh. Vahi chatichas rov basar, that cutting of the majority of the flesh, afagav de is bei shiur shia. Even though the amount of time that he's preoccupied in cutting that meat before he gets to the second simen would be sufficient to constitute shihia, kevon de ba'oila shia bein simen le simen lo pasla. Since by an olas of this delay between the two simonim doesn't render the olas of puzzle, I avdil bechatos al yedei shihia. If he does havdolah by the chatos with a delay between the simonim, ovid ma'isa oila b'chatos. Therefore, the Tanakhama says that if he's mavdil by the chatos, he is going to end up making it look like an ola, and he won't be able to rely on this delay between the two simonim. Rabbozer b'Shimon Savar, Rashi goes on, Shia b'Simon Sheni b'Yosef Posla, Hilko Chatos Shehivdil Bo, Kevon Shefshala b'Lo Shia b'In Simon l'Simon, Ein Kan Maisa Oila, deba'Oila Shia Leka, Umechatech Boser b'Almahu. According to Rabbozer b'Shimon, if you do havdalah in the case of Ola Sa'of with a shehia, you will have ruined it. Therefore, when he does havdalah by the Chata Sa'of with a shehia, it doesn't look like, it doesn't resemble legally an Ola. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon holds, if you do havdalah by the chatas of with a shehia, it's kosher, because it doesn't look like an olas ha'of. Continuing in the Gemara, Abaye Omar, Abaye takes the opinion that l'chol hadeos shia b'simin sheni by an ola would pasel it. So Abaye says, Abaye Omar, Roiv Boser Me'akev Iko Binayu. After the first simen that one does by the Chatos, he is going to be cutting Roiv Boser. And that's going to be the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. Let's take a look at Rashi for this as well. Rov Boser Ma'akev Iko Binayu. Udekule Alma Shio Be'oilo B'Simen Sheni Poslo. everyone will hold that a delay before doing the second siman by the Olas Of would render it unfit. V'achabah pliki l'tana kama chituch roiv basar bechatos im siman rishon lo me'akev. When you are doing the chatos of, which has only one siman that's expected to be cut, according to the Tanna Kamma, you don't have to cut rov basar with it. The zimnin delo mechatichle. And there are times that when you're doing the chatos of, that you end up not cutting rov basar. The amris mavdio, and if you say that the chatasof was done through havdola, ovid le shnei simonim below shia, v'yesh kan ma'isa ola. Since the need to cut rov basar by the chatasof is not necessary, you could have a situation then that you are cutting both simonim by the chatasof without rov basar, thereby making it look like an olah. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Savar, continuing in the Rashi, Roiv Basar Bechatos Me'akev. When you cut the singular simen by a chatasof, you do have to cut Rov Basar with it. And if that be the case, V'kevan de lo sagi, below Shia Ben Tayim, since in order to cut the first simen in the chatasof, you're going to do it with rov basar, that itself creates a shihia between the two simonim. And therefore, ein kan maisa ola. There, at that point then, it doesn't look like an ola. Turning back to the Gemara, ubeplukta de Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shmuel barav Yitzchak. Chad omar shihia besimen sheni ba'ilas ha'if ma'akev. Ikobinayu. This approach will be like Rava. Let's read that line again with the tikkun of the Shitakum Mikubetses. Shia besimen sheni bolos of posla. Ikobinayu. V'chad omar roiv basar me'akev iko binayu. The second opinion here matches Abaye. Michlal deboinon roiv basar lechatchila. When you're doing malika to a chatasa'of, it seems from this discussion that lechatchila you should do its simen echad, its one simen with rov basar. Is that the case? So the Gemara says, in Disanya, that is the case, as the following Tanaic source indicates. Ketzad molkim chata sa'if, chotech shedra umafrekes, beloy rov basar. You cut the spine and the spine, in this case, would be the spinal cord and the bone constituting the neck, without rove of the flesh, ad shemagia laveshet, until you reach either the esophagus or the trachea, higia laveshet o lakona, chotech simen echod, oi ruboi, you then sever the tube, or rove of it, or the majority of it, the rov basar imo. That's what we were looking for. The one simen with rov basar. Uba oila shnayim oy rov shnayim. When it comes to an ola, you are expected to cut the two tubes completely, or the majority of the two tubes. The Bryce here is representing two Tanaic opinions. The shnayim is according to Rabbanon, or rov shnayim, the majority of the two tubes is sufficient. That's according to Rabbi Zohar ben Shimon. Amrua kamei de Rabbi Zera. The machlokes amoroim that we saw above in trying to explain the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was told over to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Omar, Rabbi Yirmiyah reacted and he said, Lo shmiya lehu hodem Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, mishum Rabbi Lozer ben Pedos, mishum Rabbi Lozer ben Shavua. Did they not hear the following teaching? Omer hoya Rabbi Lozer ben Shimon, shamati bechata sa'if shemavdilin. I heard that when it comes to processing a chata sa'if, that there is havdola. Well, what does that mean in light of the fact the Pasuk says, umai lo yavdil? The Pasuk in Vayikra Perikei Pasuk Ches says, lo yavdil. So how can you say shemavdilin? The answer is, ein tzorech lahavdil. When the Pasuk says lo yavdil, means you don't have to be, you don't have to sever them. But if you did, according to Rabbi Zalman Shimon, that's fine by the chata sa'of. As far as what does this accomplish for us in light of the Gemara before, so we can explain that the Gemara originally asked, "B'mai komiflegi?" What was the underlying point of difference between Tana Kamra and Rav Zalman Shimon? We can answer now with this last point. According to the Tana Kamra, "Lo yavdil by the chatos" means it's usur to mavdil. According to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, "Lo yavdil" by the chatas of means that you're not chayef to have havdil, but if you did, it would be kosher. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.